You can open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6 this morning. We had kind of a detour on Sunday mornings because of Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, which were awesome and wonderful. But we're going to get back into our normal study habits, which is to teach through verse by verse on Wednesday nights. And if you haven't plugged into the Wednesday night study, boy, I'll tell you, it's awesome just to plow through the Word verse by verse, just taking in the Scriptures in order as they were written. It's an awesome thing. So you might want to plug into that. We're only in chapter 6, so you can jump right in the book of Numbers. But on Sundays, we usually take a little portion of that chapter that we're going to study on Wednesdays and go over something that I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. And so here in Numbers 6, beginning with verse 22, we'll take our text this morning. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." This is a blessing that was turned into a song years ago, and we used to sing it at Applegate, where I came from, after every service. Maybe it's time to adopt that, because it's a great little blessing that we can bestow not only on each other, but it's the blessing, of course, God gives to us. And so it's an amazing thing. In this particular part of the history of Israel, the numbering of the people and the arranging of the camps and the arranging of the way the people would line up for battle and all that was being set up. And the Lord had duties for people to get involved with. He had Levites, as we looked at on Wednesday night, set apart to deal with the tabernacle. The tabernacle, guys, is a picture of Jesus. And the Levites were those that would tend to the business, you see. And they made sure that the tabernacle moved with the congregation. I like that. The Levites were those that made sure, you see, Jesus moves with us. They were caretakers, so to speak. And they tended to those things. And, you know, that's the deal, isn't it? Servants of God serve so that Jesus can move about and people can, you see the reality. So the Levites were set up to do that. And part of the duties of the priestly line of the Levites was, of course, to tend to the tabernacle, do a lot of practical things. And the priestly lineage would end up tending to all the things inside the tabernacle as well. Aaron and his sons were from the tribe of who? Levi. All the priests were Levites. Not wear Levites, but were Levites. Maybe they did, you know. Maybe that's where they came from. You know, maybe Levi Strauss stole that, you know, from them. But anyway, the priests, they were all Levites. But here's the thing. In all the duties they had many duties and responsibilities, you know, tending to the service in the holy place, you know, the showbread and the lampstand and tending to the incense and all those things, which we've talked about at length, and they're great pictures and great stories. But among those things, among the responsibilities given to those priests to bestow and to move in was this. They were to bless the people in the name of the Lord. This is something God declares here, that he instructs them and appoints them and empowers them, really, and gives them authority to do. Now, this is interesting because, as you know, we now are currently the priests. We are a priesthood, Peter says, a royal priesthood. We are a generation of priests in this dispensation, in this time of Christianity and Christ's body. We are the priests. So we have, again, the same opportunity as this group of men had back then. And that is part of what we are to do, besides all the duties, guys, and we can get caught up in duty and busyness with the Lord real easily. But a big part of this, an important aspect of this, is to bless the people. Bestow blessing. Now, I want to look at this blessing because here's the thing. Jesus was into blessing. as God is. The last thing Jesus did, as you recall there in Luke 24, verse 50, was he blessed his disciples before he took off. He lifted his hands, it says there, and he blessed them. He poured out a blessing upon them. He prayed blessing over them. And he was into blessing, and the people of Israel were above all people blessed in this day and age back there. They were so blessed, they didn't know it, though. And this can happen to us, can it? You can be blessed but not know you're blessed or not be aware of the fact that you're blessed. It's a tragic thing. They were blessed above all people. God had given them his own name. He called them by his name. He delivered them from bondage, right? Delivered them from sin, that picture of Egypt and being in bondage, that awesome illustration of being in sin and having God deliver them from that. So they were delivered from the bondage of sin. He gave them his word. You see, he gave them guys like Moses and on through the years, prophets and men that would be holy unto God and serving the Lord and teaching these people how to walk with the Lord. He gave them the word, you see. He spoke to men of God that declared it unto them. They had the word. They were so blessed in that way, you see. And also, he gave them the promised land. He promised them land. And he dwelt in the tabernacle with them, in the camp. He camped out with them. They were so blessed. But why weren't they happy campers? Why wasn't this group of people, if they were so blessed immensely, why weren't they happy campers? Well, the same reason that we aren't happy campers, even though we're blessed beyond belief. And that's the issue. Unbelief. Sometimes we think that. We're blessed beyond belief. God says, no, no. No, believe it. Because the children of Israel didn't. They didn't believe it. Why didn't they go into the promised land? Unbelief. No. The Lord's not going to bless us in there. Well, he's blessing you in the wilderness. He's blessing you in that dry, deserty place you persist in staying in. So why don't you think he's going to bless you in the land he promised you, you see? But they didn't. They were so blessed, but didn't know it, didn't appreciate it. And it's because of unbelief. I need to suggest to you that's the reason that you and I go through that same struggle. When we don't know we're blessed, when we don't realize it, it's because of unbelief. We're not believing and trusting in God. That simple. Because these people, as we looked at, wow, they were so blessed. The biggest gift they got was Jesus came through their lineage, through the Jews, right? God sent his son through the Jews, because Jesus would say himself, salvation is of the Jews, right? And so they even had the Messiah come through their people, and yet they didn't appreciate him either. The biggest blessing that they ever received was not appreciated at all because they didn't believe in him. They didn't trust him to be the Messiah. Now, the question comes up in my thinking as to why God blesses, and we'll get to our text here in a second, but why does God bless anyway? Why does he bless his people? Why would he bestow this kind of blessing and instruct his priests to bless the people, you know, make sure they're blessed? Why would he do that, you see? Is it because the people were just really good boys and girls? Were they? No. Did they complain and murmur? Yes. Were they always complaining and murmuring? Yes. Did they trust him? No. But here's the thing I want you to understand. They did use his blessings. Even though they didn't appreciate them, they were focused on things that he hadn't done yet and therefore lost sight of what he had done. And this is something that's a tragic reality for many believers, is we're waiting for God to do something else. Meanwhile, we negate and neglect all the things he's already done for us. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for us, and yet he hasn't done that one thing yet. Therefore, I'm bummed. I'm miserable because, you know, the Lord hasn't come through on this thing. You know, so, and that's exactly what the people did. You know, the Lord provided manna. What did they say? We want meat. We want leeks and onions. That's what we had back in Egypt, you see. they didn't appreciate, of course, that miraculously manna was forming on the ground every day. That was perfect nutrition for them. They didn't care about that. And this is something that I want to touch on today, because God blesses us not because of us, not because of what we are doing or not doing, not because of the fact that we might be good here and good there. But, you know, this is something that's a reality for, I think, every one of us, that we always are trying to figure out why God's blessing us when he does. Have you done that? When you get a blessing, you go, okay, what did I do? What was it that I did that made God bless me? I need to do that again. I need to do that some more. Maybe I can just practice doing that every single day, you see. What is it? It wasn't anything. He blessed you even though you didn't deserve it, didn't do a thing for it. Why? Because God loves to bless. It's his nature. It's who he is. And we all have this tendency to think that, okay, I received a blessing. I was blessed by the Lord. He took care of that thing when I prayed about it. He solved that problem for me when I was so discouraged and so discontented with the situation. He dealt with me. He dealt with that situation, but he's not going to do anything else for me. He won't bless me anymore. And many of us have to get over the fact that we believe God's on a blessing budget. Like, he's out now because he gave me one. Therefore, there's no more for me. You know, I got blessed last week. Oh, no, that means I'm not going to be blessed again for a long time. You know, because he's got to spread them around, and there's a lot of people. And so typically what leads to that, what comes of that oftentimes is malice. You know what that is? It's being bummed when somebody else is blessed. It's being aggravated because somebody else is getting blessing. Why? Because that's mine. If you weren't being blessed, maybe I would be, you see. Because God's on his blessing budget and he's only got so many blessings to go around, and therefore you're getting one and I'm not. It's not true. There's no budgeting blessings with God. He never says in his word anywhere, by the way, count your blessings because that's all you're getting. It's not true. And people have this tendency. I do. You know, the disciples, same thing applied to them. You know, when they saw Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. When they got to the point where they had to feed 5,000, remember Jesus said, well, you feed them. What? The disciples said, us? Well, what are we going to feed them with, you see? And so amazing to me, the disciples freaked out. Because Jesus said, well, you feed them, you know. And they said, oh, man, you know, they really couldn't deal with the situation because they had no way of doing it. They had no means. But what's funny about that story, if you recall, Jesus had just done a bunch of amazing things, healing the sick, raising the dead. He's done so many things in the presence of those disciples. But do you know what? With all the miracles that Jesus did, they never expected him to do another one. Lord, what are we going to do? There's 5,000 people here to feed. Hello? And they forgot so easy, and so do we. But it's because we're trying to work it out in our own thinking that God's got to bless us for some reason, and he doesn't. He blesses us for no reason at all. Now, I know this is going to be hard for you to take, hard for you to believe, because you're in the practice, as I am, of working things out with God so he'll bless you. Prayers can be for blessing. You know, church can be for blessing. Worship, whatever. Lord, look at me. Are you taking notice? Because, I really need to be blessed in this way. So look, you see. And it can all be for that reason. And the Lord, I think, just grins and says, I was going to bless you anyway. You know. It's a tricky deal, and it's not true what we think oftentimes, and that is we have to perform for God in order for him to bless us. We aren't, you know, like that little monkey that runs around with the guy who cranks the little thing, whatever it's called, you know, and then when he does good, you know, the guy gives him a little treat. That's not how God deals with us. He doesn't say, okay, run around now, do something cute, and then I might give you a little treat. But some of us are running around trying to be cute. You know. And this theology, this doctrine that we've adopted makes monkeys out of us. So here's the thing, though. In this blessing, I want to get to this blessing because it's such an amazing thing to me. In, first of all, we will see the Lord's name used three times in each sequence of those verses, verse 24, 25, and 26. Three times the Lord's name's used, and what we see here, guys, is a little picture of the Trinity. What's given to us here is how the Father blesses, how Jesus the Son blesses, and how the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, blesses. And it's a wonderful thing, and I want us to look at it because it's going to, I think, perhaps change some things in the way you think about how blessing comes at you and why. First of all, in verse 24, it says, "The Lord bless thee." Now, the word bless, you may be aware of, means exceeding abundant joy, overflowing joy and happiness. So everybody's looking for happiness. Everybody wants happiness. You know, even in our Constitution, we have the right to pursue it. Doesn't mean we're going to get it, but we can pursue happiness. It's an inalienable right of ours. We can go after it. Doesn't mean anything's going to happen from it, but we have the right to go get it. And it eludes everybody, doesn't it? The reality is nobody's happy. Nobody. Nobody's really, truly happy unless they have grabbed hold of this and have allowed the Lord to simply bless them for nothing. For nothing they've done, for nothing that they are, for no character trait that they have, you know, for a hairstyle they wear. Nothing. Just simply God blesses, and I accept that. God says, "I'll bless you. The Lord bless thee, make you exceedingly, abundantly happy." But first, you have to understand, this is the Father. The Father is the one who gives. He gives gifts. He is the giver. And it's his role, so to speak, in the Godhead to be such. He's a father, just like any of us fathers, in the sense that we love to give to our kids. We love to bless our kids. We love to do stuff for them, even grandkids, I might add. I got it bad. You know, I can't stand it. I have to see Gage, like, all the time. I'm pitiful, really. My wife knows. She'll tell you. But anyway, we love to just do stuff for him. I like to just touch his face, you know. And the Lord, I think, looks at us that way. What did Gage do for me to say, man, I just got to get around him and bless him and touch him and hug him and kiss him and all that? What did he do? Nothing. He's awful cute, though. But the Lord looks at us that way. I think, you know, even though we're not really that cute, most of us, the Lord would look at us and say the same thing. You didn't do anything, but I just love you so much. I just want to get around you. I want you to be near me. And that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to bless. Now, the sense of blessing in this first part, this verse 24, "The Lord bless thee," means material, physical, practical blessing. The needs you have, the clothes you're wearing, the food you're eating, the money you make, the job you have. It's practical blessing that the Father bestows. And it's his joy to do so. He loves to do it. You remember in Psalm 84, it says, "The Father will withhold no good thing from you." If it's good, he won't withhold it. Now, that brings up an issue. Because people pray for all kinds of things. "Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that." And they don't get it, and they go, "Boy, I don't understand why the Lord didn't answer that prayer." Well, maybe it wasn't good for you. Just because you think it's good for you doesn't mean the Lord thinks it's good for you. And if it's not good for you, it's being withheld. And guys, so when things are being withheld, maybe you better rethink. Maybe this isn't that good for me. It's not that good for me, perhaps. If the Lord's not withholding it, it must be good. He's given to me, so he must think it's good for me. If he's not, then I shouldn't be sitting there being bummed out that I haven't got it yet. God knows, you see. Father knows best. He knows what you need and what you don't need. And therefore, if he's withholding, it's not good for you. You see? Now, not only that, but Jesus said that he knows what you need before you even ask him. Remember, Jesus said, take no thought for what you'll wear and what you'll, you know, eat and all that. Don't even worry about that stuff, because the Father knows you have need of it before you even ask him for it. So, you know, and I've done this, you know, a lot through the years. You know, I would worry so much about things that never happened. I shared this with the guys on Thursday morning at men's study. I would worry about all kinds of things that never happened to me. You know, paying the bills and putting dinner on the table. And the Lord really spoke to my heart at one point when we were going through some real financial trials, you know, and he said, have you ever missed a meal? And I looked down, I said, uh-uh. Nope. Never have. You know, and you know, it just started getting to me that I worry about all these things that's never happened. Do you ever do that? I call it pre-worrying. You've pre-worried about that. So if you've pre-worried about it, you don't need to worry about it anymore. And if somebody says, aren't you worried about that? No, I pre-worried. It's already covered with worry. I worried about it already. So I would do that. And the Lord just kind of got me on it and said, look, why don't you wait until something happens before you worry about it? And it really sunk in. You know, I just thought, that's true, Lord. You've never let me go without. You've always taken care of me. You're my Father. And I thought about that. And would I let one of my kids, one of my own children, if they really had need, would I let them go without? Mm-mm. Now, Jesus in that promise, though, the Father knows what you need. And he says, take no thought for what you'll eat or wear. In other words, your needs. It's not talking about the things you want so much, but the things you need. And if you learn to define the two, you'll be much better off. You'll be less frustrated, and you'll find that you know, your prayer life changes a bit. Lord, I really need this. What, that Corvette? That's a real need I have, you know. There's a big difference between what we need and what we want. But God will always provide what you need, you see. And the thing that Jesus was saying is that, you know, the Father loves to bless you, loves to give you, but he blesses you with good things for you, you see. And in Matthew 7:11, you know, that wonderful reality that Jesus says, look, if you're an evil person, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more do you think the Heavenly Father wants to do for you? He's going to take care of us. That's the Father's role. He's a Father who protects, covers, just kind of makes sure everybody's provided for. Now, not only is he the giver, the one who gives practically, materially, making sure your physical and material needs are met, but James says every good and perfect gift, every single one comes down from who? The Father of lights. It's the Father who gives anything good, period. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything good comes down from the Father of lights. And of course, we know that that's, you know, true. I mean, we can't really think of a thing, can we, that's good that didn't come from him, you see. Now, not only does this first part say that the Lord bless thee, which is provide for you in all ways that you need, but also and keep you, it says. Why would the Lord have to keep you after he's blessed you by giving you what you need? Well, kept here has a couple of different meanings, really. Kept means to guard. He has to guard you after he gives you what you need. Do you know why? Because you and I have a tendency to look at what he gives and get all caught up in it. You know how this works. Oh, Lord, please provide a job. Please, Lord. Please, please, please. Got a job. Thank you, Lord. See you later. Got my job, got my money, got my thing. I'm gone. And the Lord stands there, I think, sometimes and says, see ya. Where'd he go? Why? Because you got caught up in the gift and you forgot the giver. And that happens often. So he has to guard our hearts from that. And he does. How? His word. He guards us from getting caught up in those things. Also, kept here means to keep in the situation that you're in. What situation are you in? Well, you're saved. And 1 Peter tells us that we are kept by the power of God. So he has to hold on to you because guess what? You won't hold on to him. You won't. If I have to keep myself in a state of salvation, I'm in trouble. If you have to keep yourself there, you're in trouble. You see, I no more keep myself saved than I saved myself in the first place. What saved me? God's grace, his mercy, the blood of Jesus, you see, saved my soul. And it was his power, it was his might, it was his plan that did that, not mine. And so by the same token, I don't keep myself in that position either. He does. How? I'm kept by his power, Peter said. Kept by the power of God. So God blesses, provides in all those ways, plus keeps us, guards us from getting greedy, getting caught up in those things. And oftentimes, you know, the best way, you know, to find something disappearing is get caught up in it. Oftentimes the Lord says, well, that wasn't really the best thing for you. You see, you got caught up, and I need to guard you from that. I need to guard you from getting too caught up. I'm not a millionaire because I wouldn't be a good one. Maybe that's true of you. So the Lord doesn't give me $1 million. I can ask and ask and ask. Nope, not going to get it because I'd be a terrible millionaire. You know, I'd just spend it on stuff. You see. Now, I know that about me. Maybe you know that about you. The things I don't have, I know there's a good reason for it. So God keeps us and keeps us in that place. And guys, all of us, now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that, well, I don't have $1 million. I don't have $1,000. Well, the thing is you have enough. Every single person here, everybody has enough to make them exceedingly overjoyed and happy. Every single person, every one of you, has what you need to be happy and overjoyed. And if you're not, that's just because you don't believe. You don't believe you have that, perhaps. You don't have enough, but you do. You have more than enough. The problem is you're looking at what you don't have, not what you do. Anybody who would really take a good look at what they have would have to come to the conclusion, I am exceedingly blessed. Beyond belief, you see. Now, secondly, verse 25 says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. If you want, you can turn over to 2 Corinthians or you can jot it down. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul brings up something that's rather amazing because the second part of this blessing says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee. Now, the Lord, again here, a little slightly different tone that's being used. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, listen to what Paul says. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The second part of this blessing is Jesus. It's the second part of the Trinity. It's Jesus. This is the role Jesus plays. What role? He is the face of God's glory. Everything you want to know about God, you will find in Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus, so to speak. He's the one that reveals the Father. He's the one that shows us who the Father is. That's why he told Philip, you know, I and the Father are one. When Philip asked, you know, show us the Father, Jesus said, well, we're the same. We're one. And he reveals who God is. His face, his countenance, so to speak, the things he says, the things he does. If you read through the Gospels, you will find everything you want to know about God the Father given to us, revealed to us through Jesus Christ the Son. In the face of Jesus, you will find the reality of God. And that's the only place you find it. Without the Son, you cannot know the Father, right? So in the face of Jesus, we see the reality. And when you look at Jesus Christ, when you see in the Scriptures over and over, as we do so often, well, there he is again. There he is again. We find him in the Scriptures over and over. The whole book is about him. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, meaning the whole thing is about him. And when you find Jesus in the scriptures, you know what you always see? Grace. He's always associated with grace. You see him in the tabernacle, there in the Holy of Holies, sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. He is the mercy seat. Mercy and grace are who he is, you see. And everything that God wants you to know about himself is revealed through Jesus, in the face of Jesus Christ, you see. And that's why it says, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. What's going to shine from the face of Jesus? Grace. Always. Every time. He is the revealer of God's heart, which is grace. Mercy. And this is why this is such an awesome blessing to me, you see. Now, also, this shows us that the revealing of God through Jesus Christ means that, of course, Jesus is the Word, isn't he? Because where do we get revelation of God? Through his Word. And that's why John said, well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is mentioned there in Revelation 19 as the Word of God. That's his name. That's who he is. So the revelation of God comes through Jesus Christ, which is why, guys, we can have the mind of Christ. Because that's the revealing. It's revealed to our minds that that's who God is, you see. Now, thirdly, and I'm going to move through this quickly. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The third part of the Trinity is mentioned here, the Holy Spirit, of course, who's known as what? The Comforter. Who can give peace? The Comforter can, you see. Now, that word, lift up his countenance, that literally means to smile. So the Lord smiles upon you, is the blessing that's given, and gives you peace. Now, this blows my mind. I can't imagine that. Sometimes I think, no, he's not smiling. Whoa, he's not smiling now. You know, you're not smiling now, Lord. We sing that song, you know. He's not smiling at me. Yes, he is. How? How could he do that? How can he be smiling, lifting up his countenance, and then being willing to give me peace when I'm such a wretch? When I sin and I fail miserably so often, how can he be smiling at me? Grace, mercy, and love. He just loves you. He loves me. And the job, the role, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit is to reveal that comfort, that peace, to show us. How do we know God's smiling on us? Because the Holy Spirit confirms, you see, in our hearts. And by the way, just as Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit, who does the Holy Spirit reveal? Jesus. Jesus says, I'm leaving. I'm sending another comforter to come to you. And when he comes, he's going to show you all kinds of things that you're not getting right now. He said to his disciples, you're not understanding things, but the Spirit will bring it to your remembrance and he'll teach you all these things. But he said to them there, but listen, he will not speak of himself, but he will show you and reveal the things of me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit, you see, guys, reveals Jesus. And this is why I've said over and over, when a Bible study, when we're going through the Word of God, when we're studying it through, and the Holy Spirit is present, empowering, moving through that word. Guess who's going to be revealed? Jesus. That's what he does. He is the revealer of the reality of Jesus Christ. And so here we see that he gives us the confirmation that the Lord's smiling on us. He's actually smiling over us and is willing at that point to give us peace, you see. The Holy Spirit is the peace giver. You know this, perhaps, if you're a believer today. There's nothing like it. Paul says it's the peace that passes understanding. It goes beyond your mental capacity to comprehend what it's all about. You can't box it up. You can't categorize it. You can't put it on a shelf. You just simply have to go, I'm at peace about this. But I shouldn't be. And everybody else says, you ought not to be at peace. What's wrong with you? And we go, I don't know. I'm at peace. I'm just at ease. I'm at rest. And there's nothing like that. That's the Holy Spirit. He gives you peace, you see. So the third part there is mentioned. And the Spirit will send, you see, peace your way. He shows you that God's smiling at you, you see. And Jesus said when he left, my peace I give to you. I leave you my peace, he said. How would he do that? Spirit is left here on this earth to give peace to the folks of God, to those that know him, you see. And to tell us over and over that God is smiling on us, that he's smiling on me. Now, you say, well, that's pretty academic, you know, all that stuff. Okay, so it's the Trinity and the blessings are what God and Jesus and the Spirit all together do, but kind of separately. Okay, I follow that. But that's kind of an academic study, isn't it? Well, wait a minute. Every one of these blessings given by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit minister to every need I have. Why? Because I am also a triune being. So are you. We are three in one. We were made in God's image, I believe, for that reason. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We're three in one. I mean, we're all sitting in one unit, but we're three different elements in that unit. Your body's not really you. Right? It's the physical part of you, but guess what? You're not taking it with you. Thank God. We're leaving them here. Adios, amigo. Hasta luego. Arrivederci, whatever. See you around. Dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. See ya. See, because this isn't me. That isn't you. It's what we're housed in. But we have a body. We have a soul. The soul, the mind, the emotions, the things we think about, the things we feel, the things we experience in our lives, you know, the things we think through. That's why, of course, we know that God can deal with us in our minds. We're supposed to renew our minds, right? Paul says with the word, we're to renew ourselves in our thinking, in our mind. We're to change our minds, basically. That's what that means. Also, we have a spirit. That is the real you. That's the deep down inside that is rarely touched. Often lays dormant in a person until the Spirit of God gets in there and starts firing it up. When we talk about somebody being dead and dead in their sins, it means that their spirit is not ignited. They're just kind of dead. Spiritually, they're dead. They can have a soul, as far as that goes, as their minds and their emotions and all that, and a body, but they're spiritually dead. So the ministry of this blessing is amazing to me. The Father meets my physical needs, everything I need physically, materially. I mean, he is the one who provides all that. And I say, great, that's awesome, Lord. Jesus reveals the Father to me, you see. He is the one that affects my mind because the Word, you see, goes in and renews it. It renews my mind. So he ministers to my soul. And the Holy Spirit, he ministers to that deep part of me that nothing else can really penetrate. But the Holy Spirit can get down in there and stir it up and reveal Jesus to me and reveal the truth about how God loves me and all that. And it gives me peace and rest, you see. And everything you need in life, guys, is dealt with here. Now, you may not think so. You may think you have other needs besides these, but you don't. You have absolutely nothing that this doesn't cover in your need list. You have other things in your want list, but nothing in your need list. And it's interesting to me, note that it says the Lord bless thee, personal. It's not thee generally. It's not a general group. Although the blessings for the whole congregation of Israel, as it is for us, it's to you personally. It's your blessing, and it has to be. It has to be yours. You have to embrace this personally. Each person had to receive that blessing for himself or herself. Because here's what I found about blessings. Blessings can be given but not received. And we know that from the children of Israel. We know that from our own experience in life. God can pour out tons of blessings on us, but unless they're received of us, we don't appreciate them. We don't have any appreciation for them. And so here we see, hey, here it is. The Lord bless thee, you personally. You all have to accept this and receive this personally in order for it to really be a blessing for you. See, I can tell you about the blessings. I can tell you about this blessing. But unless you receive it for yourself personally, it's not going to matter. It's not going to happen, you see. Now, you might say, well, this was given to Israel. This was their blessing, not ours. No, no, no. If you read Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, we have all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. All of them. Is this a blessing? Yep. Is it ours? Yep. It's our blessing as well. And I believe the Lord wants the priests in this day to do what the priests in that day were instructed to do. That is, bless the people. Bless the people. Do you know, if you were really, truly desirous and pursuing blessing other people, you'd be really busy. And you wouldn't have time to complain and murmur and mumble and grumble. You know, the children of Israel had all this time on their hands because they didn't believe God. They should have been busy in the promised land. Do you understand that? The reason they complained is because they wandered. And I shared this a couple of Wednesdays ago. But the cure for murmuring is don't wander. Don't wander, and you'll quit complaining. You'll quit murmuring if you quit wandering. Get out of the wilderness. Get into the promised land, see. The promised land is a spirit-filled life. Go for it. Go deeper. Go fuller. Take the blessings and run with them. Don't sit there in the wilderness any longer. It breeds complaints and murmurings from you and me. But the Lord wants us, I believe, to do what this is instructing them to do, and that is bless people. Not be like so many preachers who make people feel like, you know, God's mad at them, you know. I spent a long time in church when I was a little guy, and every Sunday I felt the same way. Ouch. Ooh. You know, heavy. Wow. What a wretch. Miserable. God's so mad at me, and because I sinned, you know, and oh boy, what does that mean? Well, it means you're terrible. You're a terrible person. God's mad at you. He doesn't have anything to do with you if you're like that. And everybody looked the same way in that church. All had the same facial expression, you know, like, what are you supposed to do with that? You know, when you sin, God's mad and he's disgusted and all, and that's what I was made to feel like. I don't know about you, but oftentimes that's the case. And God says, no, no, no. Now, Moses, if you recall, and we'll get there eventually, in Numbers chapter 20, Numbers tells us that Moses was disqualified from entering into the promised land himself, even as the leader, even as the priest, so to speak, of that group, even over Aaron. He was the man of God that communicated with God directly. He was disqualified. Do you know why? Because when God told him to speak to the rock that would provide water, which we know from Paul's description that was Christ, that rock that was supposed to give water, when Moses spoke to it, he hit the rock with this rod, remember? Hit it twice, and water came out of that rock graciously. But Moses was taken aside by God, and God says, Moses, you're going to have to be disqualified from going into the promised land. Because when Moses hit the rock, he looked at those people and said, you rebellious people, do we have to fetch water for you out of the rock? And he was God's representative to the people. Remember that. Moses was God's representative. And what did he do? He represented God in a way that made the people feel like he was angry with them. God's mad at you people. You're rebellious, you guys. Do we have to fetch water for you? And he made God look mad at the people. And God says, that's not my heart. This was his heart. I will bless them. I will bless them. Now, Moses, of course, died in the wilderness and was buried there. We see, though, that the Lord graciously snuck him in later at the Mount of Transfiguration, which was in the Promised Land. There's Moses and Elijah with Jesus. You know, he got in there. But anyway, the point is, though, how many ministries, how many Christians don't go any further than the wilderness? Because what they're really doing is causing people and embracing their own belief that God's mad and angry and he's unapproachable and he doesn't want anything to do with them. It's absolutely a lie. And that's why God rebuked Moses for it. You can't tell the people like that I'm mad and angry at him when I'm not. And guys, I need us to understand that. The Lord wants to bless us. And even if you're a wretch like me, he still wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But there's one thing. There's one thing. Verse 27 says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The name has to be on you. Whose name? His name. Now, people of this world will enjoy some of the blessings that overflow from God's people. This is true. Everybody gets rained on. Everybody enjoys the sunshine. Everybody breathes air. Everybody can enjoy the provision that God provides. But only those with the name of God upon them will have this kind of blessing, that exceeding, overjoyed, happy blessing, if they'll embrace this and be provided not only with the material things, but will be provided with the grace and the mercy and the revealing of God and peace and knowing that God's smiling upon them. Do you think the world thinks that God's smiling at them? No. Why do you think they're not here? Why do you think they're not in church or even wanting to get close to God? Because they think, oh boy, you hear this from people, don't you? Why don't you come to church? Oh no. God doesn't want me there. You know, the place would burn down if I walked in the door, you know. Or they say, well, let me get it together first, you know, and then I'll come because, you know, I'm not really that great of a guy right now. And you say, well, that doesn't matter. That's not the issue. But they don't understand that. But I'm afraid, and tragically, I think what's happened over the years is that Christians have misrepresented the heart of God in so many ways. And frankly, a lot of people make people feel like God is mad at them rather than saying, you know, God loves you. He desires to bless you with peace and grace and joy and mercy and just the greatest things. He loves you, you know, rather than, man, you're just really going down the wrong road. You're going to hell and God's mad at you. Boy, you know. There was a bumper sticker years ago that said, you know, Jesus is coming soon, and boy, is he mad. True. Bumper sticker that I saw in cars a lot, you know. Jesus is coming soon, and man, he's mad. You know. Okay. That's the image sometimes. But I want you to know something. This is a pronouncement of blessing that we get to embark upon others, and we get to receive for ourselves. And I think it's a great truth. God just loves us, wants to bless us. He loves you, wants to bless you, and he wants to take care of every need in your life, from physical, material, all the way through revealing his word and taking care of you spiritually and filling you up with joy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God that blesses and desires so much, Lord, for us to know that. You want us to know your nature and your character. That's why you sent your Son, truly, Lord, to show us in the face of him who you are. And he was gracious and merciful. He touched lepers and loved on people that were unlovely. He blessed people, Father, even though they were no better than anybody else. In some cases, perhaps worse off. But that didn't stop you from ministering deeply to them and loving on them because you love to bless. So, Lord, I pray today we would receive this for ourselves personally, knowing that everything we need is going to come from you, every single thing, and that we can trust, Father, that this blessing will be bestowed not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We're yours. We belong to you. And you will just bless your people. And that's an awesome thing, Lord. Keep us from trying to play the game of trying, Lord, to do good or trying to make you notice that we're doing something awesome so that we can be blessed. Help us just to be appreciative of the things you've given to us and not be so consumed with what we don't have or haven't received yet or whatever. Forgive us for that. Bless us, Lord, even as your word says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.